You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
Got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everyone, to another hour of the Grace Curley Show. This is not the millennial with the mic. This is the Gen Zer with the mic today. I'm taking over for Grace. This is Caroline Levitt. We've talked about the Biden border crisis, 844-500-4242. We have a hot button poll question today that's getting the people going. Jared, we knew it would. Bring up weed, legalization of weed, pot, gambling, booze. People always have a lot to say when it comes
to
these
topics.
Stay
off the weed!
And I don't, you know, there's good arguments on both sides, and I'm somewhere in the middle. But we also, as always, have to talk about 2024, because that race, there's something new in this presidential race every single day. And in a few minutes, we are going to be joined by Corey Lewandowski, former campaign manager for President Trump in 2016. And he's going to give us his take on how this primary is hashing out. Governor DeSantis expected to announce his campaign in the next couple of weeks. He better get to it because it's definitely imploding. DeSantis continues to decrease in the polls as President Trump continues to surge. And this past weekend, DeSantis went to Iowa without committing to the fact that he's running for president, even though everyone knows that's what he's doing. He's still mooching off the Florida taxpayers' dime, I guess. But he went to Iowa. He gave a couple of speeches. Here's what our friend Pete Hegseth had to say on Fox News about DeSantis' visit. Jared, cut three.
Unbelievably underwhelming. I mean, I the first moment I saw him speaking was in the elevator here at Fox. There wasn't any sound when I was looking. Thinking, okay, I put on my blue country shirt to go to Iowa. Mm-hmm. Very little energy. Not as dynamic or engaging as you would have thought based on his reputation. The event ends and it's like, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's just not there.
Yeah.
There's a lot more sizzle than there is steak when it comes. That's why I think his numbers have dwindled.
Some harsh words from Pete Hegseth. Hope Pete doesn't lose his job over at Fox anytime soon for saying that. But I think he has a point. And DeSantis' team, I got in a little tussle with him on Twitter this past weekend because they were saying that President Trump didn't go to Iowa because of the crowd size and people weren't showing up to his rally, when in fact they rescheduled or postponed the rally because of bad weather. There was tornado warnings for 24 hours leading up to the rally, and ultimately the president's plane could not take off from Palm Beach, Florida. But DeSantis' team was saying, oh, Trump's afraid he can't pull a crowd. Give me a break. President Trump is not afraid he can't pull a crowd. There were thousands of people signed up for the rally. There were hundreds of people waiting outside 12 hours before in the morning on Saturday. They're just grasping at straws. President Trump is beating DeSantis in Iowa in the First of the Nation caucus by 32 points. I don't think he's worried about crowd size, Jared. Do you?
That's a sizable advantage, as they say.
Yeah,
in the business.
I would say that's a very sizable advantage, 32 points ahead. And then DeSantis got himself into a little bit of a hole again following the Iowa rally, when, or his Iowa event, rather, excuse me, when he was asked about the 2020 election and whether or not he thought there was fraud in the election. I'm sure, like many of you, I absolutely know for a fact there was fraud in the 2020 election. I saw it with my own eyes. I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time of 2020 because I was working in President Trump's White House. And I lived in an apartment in D.C., Jared. I received more than 10 ballots to my apartment in D.C.
If you don't receive 10 ballots every election, democracy dies, Caroline.
Democracy dies in darkness, as our friends at the Washington Post like to say. And if you're not receiving 10 ballots for one election.
No, I'm pretty sure. I haven't lived in California in 7 years. I'm sure I voted out there like three or four
times
in the past election.
That's a, you should check the voter rolls in California. I am sure you've voted. And it's not for the Republicans, those poor Republicans that are still running hopelessly out in California. But to anyone that says there was no voter fraud in the 2020 election, I mean, come on. We've seen the mountains of evidence, 2000 Mules, great film by Dinesh D'Souza. We've seen thousands of sworn signed affidavits from great Americans who, you know, signed affidavits about what they saw at the polls and were, you know, supposed to believe the mainstream media and Biden, who was an installed president. But I was surprised by DeSantis's comments on this, and this is newsworthy. That's why I'm bringing it to you. He refused to say whether he thought there was fraud in the 2020 election. He dodged and deflected questions about the outcome or complaining that he's been asked about it and complained that he's been asked about this 100 different times. And he was, when he was asked about President Trump's voter fraud claims, he did not address them, but pivoted to touting his support for election law reforms in Florida. And that's interesting to me, because we know there was fraud in the election. This is arguably one of the most important issues for the Republican base, especially because we know what we saw and we need to address it. We need stronger election integrity across the board, and we certainly need candidates running who are willing to talk about it. DeSantis is starting to sound less like Trump, more like Governor Sununu, who also had some comments about Trump this week, and I want to bring them to you. He's a three-time loser, this article states. Sununu rips into Trump after CNN town hall. He is a loser, and as a four-time winning Republican, I am tired of losing, said Sununu. Sununu also said that for those who were there at CNN's town hall last week, that he was deeply troubled by Trump's remarks at the forum and said the audience reaction was embarrassing. That's what our Republican governor said about Republican voters who went to a town hall in their own state. He said that it was embarrassing that people showed up to Trump's town hall, calling them losers too. What a great true Republican our governor is, huh? Just crapping on his own constituents, his own voters, his own Republican base for going to a town hall and applauding when Trump says things like drill, baby, drill. Sununu thinks you're a loser for doing that.
That sounds like one of my dad's Republicans who used to reach across the aisle and have a burger with Joe back in the day.
Reach across the aisle and sign billions of dollars of pieces of useless legislation into law. That's exactly what Sununu is. Bipartisan. You can't be bipartisan with a communist party that wants to destroy our nation. He's been more focused on getting a job over at MSNBC than he has with understanding where we are as Republican voters, that we care about election fraud, that we want a candidate who's going to fight back against Caitlin Collins, not sit there and have bipartisan discussions, but will actually bring the receipts and fact check these hack reporters, something Sununu doesn't do. He cozies up to him. He spent more time on Chuck Todd these days than he's ever been on Newsmax or Fox News. He's trying to get a job if he doesn't run for governor at one of these mainstream hack networks. 844-500-4242. What do you think about DeSantis's imploding poll numbers? What do you think about Sununu calling you a loser for tuning in to the CNN town hall last week? I think the only loser in this discussion is the guy who's not even showing up in primary polls in states like Iowa that are very important. It was Howie that pointed out to me that Sununu's polling worse than Asa Hutchinson, who's a former governor, not even a sitting governor. I mean, that's pretty sad. Poor Asa. Sununu's at a whopping goose egg in Iowa, and he's polling in third place in his own state of New Hampshire. Not looking good. So maybe he should take a page out of President Trump's book, who's dominating everyone else. 844-500-4242. Ron, go ahead, Ron.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello, Caroline. Hi. Caroline, I met you in at the Wolfboro Parade, 4th of July Parade.
Oh, yes. And thanks so much.
I was wearing my This Dad Raises Patriots shirt, if you remember.
I love it. I remember that parade. That's a good one up in Wolfboro, although I saw Mitt Romney there, so he wasn't a pleasant face. But great to talk to you again, Ron. What do you got for us?
Well, no, we are talking about Sununu, the guy who has his own citizens arrested. And,
yeah.
You know, that. How, I got to ask you this question. How, we were expecting a red wave, we got a red ripple. And how do we get I'm going to use the word loosely, a Republican government, but yet all you other Republicans don't get in? How does that happen?
Yeah. You know, Ron, it's a good question. I think a lot of factors played into the midterms last cycle. As you know, our same-day registration law in New Hampshire is really, really terrible for our party and for our state, because you have out-of-state voters who come to our state, who don't reside there, don't pay taxes there, but vote there, largely in our college communities too. UNH, Durham, New Hampshire, we had mass influx of same-day registrations and ballots. And, you know, Sununu's been riding off of the Sununu legacy, which is appeal to the Democrats and the independents and govern as a Democrat. And so he's able to get those voters. But when you run as a true Republican, which is I was proud to do, those same-day registrations from Massachusetts and New York, they don't help you very much. We need to fix that law and get rid of same-day registration in our state, or I fear we will not win a federal race or a gubernatorial race once Sununu's gone. Ever again. We are trending in a blue direction, and we certainly saw that in the last cycle. We're going to take a quick break, but I want to stay on this topic. 844-500-4242. Caroline Levitt will be right back. Elise, we're going to come to you after the break. Stay on the line.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
I like that. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me. Where's that from, Jared?
That is from The Office. That was a Michael Scott quote.
That's good stuff. I appreciate that. This is Caroline Levitt filling in for Grace Curley on this Monday. 844-500-4242. Elise, I promised you we'd come to you after the break. Thanks for hanging tight with us. What do you have for us today?
Well, I'd like to start out, Caroline, by saying I'm very sorry you didn't win your election, because I think young Republican women need role models like you.
Thank you.
To kind of bring them over to the Republican Party. Having said that, I couldn't disagree with you more about Trump, and I know you're on his campaign, so you have, you know, big reason to back him. However, how can a young, successful woman like you back this misogynistic, obnoxious narcissist? He's a polarizing figure. He's too old. We talk about Biden being too old. He's too old. DeSantis is the future of the Republican Party. He's a veteran. He went to Yale. He's a family man. He has grace. He has class. Why would you back Trump? He is obnoxious.
Elise, I don't get offended by some of the comments that have been made. I've been in politics. It's a dirty, dirty game. And when you get attacked, you want to punch back. And I want someone who punches back. I worked in the White House. I've been around President Trump personally. He is nothing but respectful and kind to his staff, respectful and kind to the people. I don't know if you've ever been to his rallies or seen him really interact with people one-on-one, but if you have the chance again, he will be back in New Hampshire. I suggest that you go because you will see who he is for real, not what the media wants you to believe, which is that he's this narcissist as you claim. That's absolutely not true. In fact, it's quite the opposite. My experience working for him personally has been nothing but great. He's always been kind and gracious to all those around him. And he got it done for us. He got stuff done. He delivered on his promises. And that's what I care about. And you brought up, you know, being a role model for young women. Young women in this country right now are hurting because of our current president. And I believe we need to ensure President Trump gets back in that White House to uplift women and all Americans with the securing the border, reinvigorating our economy, our domestic energy production. President Trump is the only one who can do those things because he's done them before, and also take on the swamp and drain the corruption and fire those in Washington, D.C. who seek to literally destroy our country. I think he's the only one with the gall to get that done. And I don't think DeSantis is ready for that yet. And he's been stumbling and bumbling along the campaign trail, and he's proven in the past few weeks that he's not ready for this job. And so we need proven day one leadership. That's why I support the president. And to your comments about his personality and him personally, I reject that completely based on my own personal experience in the White House. But I appreciate your calling in. 844-500-4242. We're going to go over to Richard. Richard, you're live. This is Caroline Leavitt.
Good afternoon. I just want to emphasize the point that, you know, Governor Sununu said nothing when, you know, the control of the Senate and the House was on the line. He actively did not back Republican candidates that could have beat Chris Pappas, such as yourself.
Yeah.
And also Maggie Hassan. She should not be right now the senator in this state. He actively campaigned by against Republican candidates or by omission, didn't campaign for them, and would rather have had a Democrat-dominated Senate and maybe even not even the House than to have Republicans in there that weren't establishment Republicans. And I have a huge problem with that.
Yeah, Richard, I agree. And I get it. Trust me. I mean, the governor didn't do anything for me in my primary when I was the nominee of the race. I had to ask him to put out a statement of support so we could be a unified ticket, myself, the governor, and General Don Bolduc. And that's about all he did. We didn't do any events together. We were supposed to do a press conference. He actually canceled 3 hours before. And in hindsight, the real nail in the coffin, somebody asked, you know, why we didn't get over the finish line. The real nail in the coffin in that race was the redistricting proposal, in which Governor Sununu was supposed to pass a favorable map for the Republicans in the first congressional district in New Hampshire. The Republican Senate voted on it, passed it. The Republican House voted on it, passed it. But he vetoed it. And we got to ask ourselves, why is that? Why would he veto a map that would ensure Republicans would be elected to the federal level and beat Chris Pappas? I think, frankly, he wants to be the only Republican in our state. He doesn't actually care if we have Republican representation in Washington. He likes to be the only Republican that can win in New Hampshire. He loves that claim to fame. That's why he goes on MSNBC and says it every single other week. And so, frankly, he screwed us in that last election with the redistricting proposal, among other things, too. I'm not saying that's the only reason Chris Pappas is in office today, but it certainly played a big part. Dave, you are live. We don't got time for you, Dave, just yet, but we will when we come back. Please hang tight. 844-500-4242. This is Caroline Leavitt. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Caroline Leavitt on the Grace Curley Show. And we did forget to do our poll question, didn't we, Jared? Well, let's do it right now, and then we'll get to the lines. Thank you very much to those that are calling in. 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is our poll question today, and what are the results?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is do you support legalization of marijuana? Yes, fully, only for medicinal reasons, or no?
Well, I stand somewhere in the middle, as we've already discussed. We've had so many callers calling in on this. So if you want to pitch in your thoughts on this, 844-500-4242. But Jared, where does the audience stand?
40% say only for medicinal reasons, 37% for no, and 24% for yes, fully.
So only 24% think it should be totally legalized.
It's up 3% from the last hour.
Huh. That's real interesting to me. I would have thought it would have been more people would be for the legalization, especially since we have a majority Massachusetts audience. The reason this is our poll question today for our New Hampshire listeners is Governor Sununu has flipped the script on this issue, and he is now saying he supports a plan to legalize marijuana in New Hampshire, set it up similarly to our liquor business, which, of course, as you know, is run by the state. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that, because that could certainly change our state in a lot of ways. 844-500-4242. Let's go to Katie. You are live. This is Caroline Levitt.
Hi, Caroline. Thanks so much for taking my call. I mostly first want to say that you are a solid gold spokesperson for the Trump message.
Oh, and
when
thanks.
When he's elected again in 24, I expect we will see you behind that White House lectern, and I can't wait. I just wanted to respond as a woman to the woman who called earlier about how anyone could support this, quote, misogynist. We are talking about a guy who was the first to put a woman at the helm of a major construction site. And to me, a woman asking a woman how they can support someone is a little counterintuitive. And I think what we're seeing is the results of, you know, fake news brainwashing. Mm-hmm. And in terms of Trump facing DeSantis and women in general, I think that what we should consider after the primary is DeSantis and 6 weeks, quote unquote, women and media are going to latch on rightfully to the 6 week ban, regardless of where anyone is on choice and pro-life. 6 weeks are two words that will prevent DeSantis from having any chance.
Yeah, Katie, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it, and thank you for your kind words. You bring up a great point. The previous caller pointed out that she believes President Trump is a polarizing figure, asking me how I could support such a misogynistic, polarizing figure. It's the media that is polarizing, and it's sad that people listening to this show don't realize that by now, right? And who is more polarizing than Joe Biden and his policies? We had the cut for you earlier just this weekend. He said white supremacy is the greatest threat in America today. This administration at every turn is actively pitting the American people against one another. President Trump's policies uplifted everyone, regardless of your gender or your race or your economic status. He just wanted everyone to do well. That's why our economy was booming. We reinvigorated our domestic energy production. We had safer communities, and for women too. What do we care about as women? I'm not a mother yet, but I presume, knowing my mother well, and happy late Mother's Day to all those listening, you know, what do moms and women care about? I think the number one priority, it's safe to say, is ensuring a safe and prosperous and free society, community, country for their children. And we had that a few years ago. We don't have that anymore. And so who gives a crap about personality? I care about policy, and every other woman listening should too. 844-500-4242. Dave, you've been very patient on the line. What do you got for us? Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Caroline. I live in New Hampshire. I'm a GOP Republican voter, always have been. But you are wrong, wrong, wrong. I'll talk fast and try not to yell. And when I say you, I don't mean you personally. I mean the GOP. The GOP cannot answer the abortion question. Trump couldn't answer it on the CNN town hall. All the ads, we lost the midterms and we're going to lose 2024 because of abortion. No other reason. The worst economy in the world, gas too high, and we lose the midterms. And it is because the GOP has been, everybody's been sold a bill of goods that the GOP wants a national ban on abortion. We want you to keep your rape baby, and we want you to keep your uncle, your incestual baby. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. But, and Carolyn, I love you. I didn't get to vote with you because I'm in a different district. But no one in the GOP, you included, Trump included, no one can answer the abortion question. It killed you in the midterms. It's going to kill us in 2024. It's all you saw on all the news, all the ads, every place you went. My own 26-year-old daughter thought the GOP wanted a national ban on abortion. You better get your act together or we are going to lose. We will lose.
Dave, slow down. I got a question for you, Dave. You still with us?
Yes, sorry.
All right, no problem. I understand. We all want to win for sure. What do you think the solution is for the GOP? What do you think Republicans should be running on when it comes to this issue? What should be the position?
So number one, what I think you should be doing is number one, saying no, you don't want a congressional national ban on abortion, okay? And as far as I know, we don't. Number two, we Republicans have no issue with early term abortion if you've been raped or incest. But you've got to make this clear to people. I'm 70 years old. That is my stance. I think it should be your stance. That's not what's being told. Like I said, to my 26-year-old daughter, she was convinced that if things happened in the midterms, we would have a national ban on abortion. You'd have to carry your rape baby to term. So you better get your act together, your answer straight on abortion.
Yes, Jared, keep Dave on the line because, Dave, you're bringing up a good point, and it is a discussion that we need to have, and we do need to be better at messaging on this issue. I 100% agree. I think this issue played a massive role in my race and, unfortunately, in my loss. The Democrats spent billions of dollars on this issue last cycle because they knew it would work, right? Because there is a lot of misinformation about there on the issue of life. I come from a position of wanting to protect life. I think it's actually anti-women to say you need to have an abortion, you can't be successful in life. However, your position on this and what you think the Republicans should run on is what President Trump is running on. You said he didn't answer the question with Caitlin. He actually did. He said pretty clearly, I am for exceptions in the cases of rape and incest in life of the mother. And when I am president, we will negotiate a solution that all Americans agree on. And I think that's something that's much more favorable than some of the other GOP Republicans in this presidential race. I agree with your frustration that the Democrats are going to keep hammering this issue, but the three exceptions, like Reagan, that was a popular position then. It should be now. But also the Democrat Party has moved so far left that we have people that are very radical on this issue. I don't know where your 26-year-old daughter stands, but it's unfathomable to support things like abortion in the 7th, 8th, and 9th month. So we can't give away all of our chips. We can't sacrifice our values just to win elections. We have to stand firm in what is right and be better messengers of that. Do you agree?
Yes, but Caroline, she asked him three times, are you for a national ban on abortion? He didn't say no. He said, he gave the political answer. I want to negotiate something that everybody's going to be happy with. That's the GOP, and I'm sorry, we are run by morons, Ronald McDaniel included. He didn't say no. You've got to say it. We are not for a national ban on abortion.
Dave, I hear your concern. I appreciate your passion. And it is an issue that anyone who wants to run for office has to consider. We have to be mindful of our values and where we stand. And we need to be good messengers on this issue because we know we're on the right side of this, right? We're on the right side. Protecting life is the correct moral position to have. How do we get more people to agree with us on that? How do we come to a consensus on this issue? It definitely is a question we need to continue to have discussions like this one about. So thank you for calling in, Dave. Thanks for your passion. We have a lot more calls to take. 844-500-4242. And abortion's an issue, but inflation is too. Inflation is at a 40-year high. That's why you need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. One of our listeners didn't buy just one 3-Pack. He bought two of them. He wrote, "Everyone loves them, and so do I. After only a few hours, I could tell the difference, or should I say, smell the difference." And I have to agree with that listener. I also was given an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack because I wanted to make sure I appreciated the product before I read this advertisement to you, the listeners. And I swear to you, it really did work. I put it in my basement. I had a musty smell. I lived there near the ocean in New Hampshire, as you know, on the seacoast. You get that marsh water, salty smell. I kind of like it, but sometimes it smells a little musty. I put the air purifier in my basement and it worked within 24 hours. It was completely gone. And here at the Howie Car Radio Network, we've had thousands of satisfied customers buy the 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, no filters to replace, only third of the cost of those big bulky air purifiers. With code GRACE, you'll save money and receive free shipping. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE. Shipping is free. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone. We got a hot show today. A lot of hot button issues. Abortion, weed. The lines are blowing up. 844-500-42.
Sounds like a Gen Z show to me.
Yeah, this is the Gen Zer with the mic. Grace is going to come back tomorrow and be like, what the heck happened to my show? No, these are good discussions to have, right? This is why we have a First Amendment. This is why you all tune in to talk radio. This is what we love. 844-500-4242. Let's go to Steve. You are live. This is Caroline Levitt.
Hey, Carolyn. Steve the flag guy, by the way.
Oh, hey, Steve. What's going on?
I want to know who's prepping Trump for these debates, because it seems like he's not prepared. When he was asked questions, he didn't have the good answers. The guy from the crowd asked him, what about the 1,500 soldiers that the Biden administration...
Lost him?
Yeah, sorry, Steve. The connection dropped off on us.
Oh, dang, Steve. You can call in again if you want, but I was going to disagree with you there. I thought he was very well prepared. He literally had receipts in his suit coat that he pulled out on Caitlin Collins when she was bringing up some of his statements on January 6th. He also fact-checked her in real time when she said that the Biden admin, that we never built the border wall. That's not true. We built nearly 400 miles of border wall, and the former Homeland Security Secretary, who is now part of Governor DeSantis's super PAC against President Trump, even said it at the time. So I thought he was very well prepared. And you have to consider, you know, he was with a moderator who was supposed to be moderating a town hall, and it turned into a debate between CNN and the president. So I thought he did a great job. 844-500-4242. Let's go to Rob, another New Hampshire caller. Rob, you're live.
How you doing, Caroline? I just left New Hampshire a week ago after spending 35 years there. So I'm a little upset and disgusted at Sununu's position. And I got to speak to the callers who keep saying it's my body, my choice.
Hold on, Rob, 1 second. I'm curious. Where did you go and why did you leave New Hampshire?
You ever see the movie Nomadland?
I have not, no.
No? I'm living the van life. I'm in a converted van. I'm just traveling the country for the rest of my life.
All right.
I'm 62 years old, and I'm driving through Phoenix right now.
Good for you. Living the van life, listening to the Grace Curley Show. We appreciate it. All right, what do you got for us?
A really hot show. It's 97 degrees here. No, I'm 62. I have seen a lot of lives ruined. I'm not saying altered. Ruined by marijuana. Okay, so I saw the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. That I've seen plenty of people, my peers and others, go gateway from marijuana. And those who have been around as long as I have are lying. Even those in their 40s and 50s, they're lying if they say marijuana is not a gateway drug. Because if you'll do marijuana, you'll try mushrooms, you'll try mescaline, you'll try cocaine.
Well, I don't know if that's true for everyone, Rob. That might not be true for every person, right? I know a lot of people
No, it's not true for everyone. But I know I've seen a lot of people gateway their lives through marijuana into destruction and early death.
Yeah. Same could be said for alcohol, though, right? And at what point does individual responsibility factor into all of this? It seems to be a value that we've lost in this country with all things. All right, Steve, we'll come back to you. You better have better connection. You're live.
All right, I'm sorry. It was on my Bluetooth.
It's all good.
You're right. Trump did have some notes, but there was three. I'll give you three quick examples. One person said about the 1,500 troops. He should have said those troops were there to process people, not to stop them from coming in. That's number one. Then she asked him about the border wall. You only built 50 miles of border wall. He should have said, well, remember the Democrats wouldn't give me any money, and every environmental group was suing them to not build a border wall. That's another example. And then, what was the third one? There was another one I forgot now what it was. But he should have been more specific on what he was actually doing. You know what I mean? We tried to build a wall, and everybody kept stopping him.
No, I know. I hear you, Steve. You're not bringing up bad points on what he should have said, but, you know, he combated Caitlin, and he did bring up facts, and he did have receipts. I mean, you can't make every single point on every single issue. Something I learned as a candidate and participating in debates, both in the primary and then in the general election, is, one, you only have so much time to answer the questions. Two, you know, there's so much to talk about on every single issue. You can't make every single point. And so I thought overall, you know, he was prepared and he did bring the facts. And like I said, he had the receipts. You can't go 100 for 100 on every single point, especially when you have Caitlin there as a little flat mosquito in your ear interrupting you every 3 seconds. And when Trump turned to her, by the way, and I hope that woman that called earlier is still listening, when he turned to her and said, "You're nasty," I was thinking the same damn thing in my head. So if we're all thinking it, why do we have to get mad at the guy for saying it? I mean, it's true. She was being like a debate. Like, she was acting like she was the Biden campaign. You're a moderator for a town hall. And I spoke to a lot of people who were in attendance who had questions they wanted to ask, and they were unable to because they didn't have the time, because Caitlin Collins was asking all her questions. In the first 26 minutes, all she wanted to talk about was issues that really don't matter to you and me. Thanks for calling in, Steve. 844-500-4242. We have another hour left of the Grace Curley Show today. We still have news to get to. I want to talk about the four shootings that happened this past weekend in Manchester, New Hampshire. How WMUR is framing that story tells you everything you need to know. They are owned by ABC, which is a propaganda arm for the Democrat Party. So wouldn't be surprised if the Democrats in New Hampshire try to come after our Second Amendment rights and our guns. Brittany Griner finally appreciates the national anthem. I guess it only took her several months in a Russian detainment camp to appreciate the freedoms we have in America. Gosh, she is pathetic. Don't go anywhere. Stick with us for another hour. I'm Caroline Levitt.